Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Johnny Burrow. And as it's a Tuesday, it's our Football League special. I've got a Championship focus for you tonight. All the latest on Aston Villa. They've gone up to the Premier League. It's only been confirmed for a couple of days and already the vultures are circling. Could their key men be off? That's the question I'll be asking Johnny Gould, who's a broadcaster, journalist and, of course, director of the Aston Villa Supporters Trust. Jack Grealish to Spurs very nearly happened last season. He himself has admitted that his head was turned. He was quite keen on playing under Pochettino. Could the Argentine come circling around again this summer? But it's not just exits they're talking about. Christian Benteke has been flirting with the club shamelessly on Twitter. So as soon as Aston Villa got promoted to the Premier League, the former Villa striker tweeted the club, "At Aston Villa, I see you. Well done for finally bringing this beautiful club back to the Premier League." This is absolutely shameful, right? This is like your girlfriend seeing her ex-boyfriend get a new job and immediately texting him, "You're wonderful, how are you? Shall we go for coffee?" I'm not having it, Christian. You're a Palace player, but could he be off? Also, the latest from Charlton. Lee Bowyer is doing an amazing job at the Valley. They've just gone up as well via the League One playoffs, but my lord above, it is still a mess there. Bowyer, one of the highest rated managerial talents in the country, doing a sensational job, is, as things stand, out of contract in 4 weeks' time. 4 weeks! He can just walk for free. Insanity! What is Roland de Châtelet doing? I'll be asking Martin Adkins of the SE7 pod and, of course, the Charlton Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio every Thursday night, 9 until 10. This is baffling. He's just a staggeringly good talent. They could let him walk for free. Talking of which, Joe Aribo, the midfield star, his contract's running down as well. He's been pretty coy. He's been asked about his future after the game. He said, "I haven't really been looking at what's going on." Right, okay, I've been focusing on my game. That's the old cliche. I've been focusing on my game and also thinking about a potential move to Manchester City. Now, regular listeners of this show will know that we're not just about the rumours. We're about cutting through the noise of that transfer rumour mill and letting you know which of these deals could actually happen, which actually have legs. Now, I'll be honest. I've been looking at the Aribo rumours for a while, and the only two clubs he's been consistently linked with are Arsenal and Manchester City. Now, that made me not really believe it, if I'm honest, because Joe Aribo is a fantastic player, but with all due respect, he's a fantastic player for League One. I've seen him take Portsmouth apart twice this season. It's all well and good. Do it to Chelsea. Do it to Stoke on a cold Wednesday night. It's not the same thing. I've spoken to star journalist James Benge, who's a senior writer for Football.London. Sees him in the same mould as Vieira. Says he's not just good enough for Arsenal. He could go there and play. But my feeling about this rumour is changing in the last couple of days. The reason for that is we're now seeing Aribo linked with clubs he could actually go to. We're seeing him linked with the likes of Aston Villa. This is now scary for Charlton, right? We're not in dreamland anymore. We're not dealing with silly paper talk of a League One midfielder to an elite club. We're talking of a top-end League One footballer going to a bottom-end Premier League team. Suddenly, I'm getting a bit nervous. We'll have to get Martin's take and all the latest on Brentford. Traditionally, transfer window, quite a scary time to be a Brentford fan, with bigger clubs circling and looking to pick off their best talent. But it's good news for the Bees at the beginning of this window, at the very least. They've opened not with a sale, but with a purchase of their own, and quite a glamorous one, it has to be said. They have signed Norgard from Fiorentina for a reported £2.8 million. The key here isn't that he's come from Fiorentina, who have, of course, struggled in Italy this season, just relegated from Serie A. The secret is that he used to play for Bromby. Now, he worked with the current Brentford boss, Thomas Frank, at Bromby for quite a few years. So what's going on here is a manager bringing in a player he knows. I'll be asking Dave Lane of Besotted about whether he sees him as a good signing. But with Brentford, it wouldn't be a transfer window without their star men potentially being poached by big clubs. And the vultures are already circling. Reported in The Sun today that Bristol City could be in for their keeper, Dan Bentley. I could see that happening. I want to talk about Brentford a bit more broadly, right? Brentford are one of these clubs who have what I call nearly seasons. That's what's happened this year. They've had a nearly season. We're going into it. They were tipped by many for a playoff push. This was a chance, if ever, where the stars were going to align and they could potentially just squeak up into the Premier League. They haven't done that. They were quite a way off doing it. But the problem is, they were still pretty good, right? Mid-table in the Championship with some star performers, some real standout names. Neil Maupay scored freely at the top end of that golden boot chart, and it doesn't stop there. Benrahma was electric off the wing, a box of tricks like very few I've seen in the Championship. Mococho running the show in midfield with steel. Sawyers standing next to him with a little more invention, and young Ollie Watkins as well is tipped by many as a star of the future. Now, the reason why I bring this up on a Football League-focused Rumour Mill show is there's a real difficulty to being a Football League club, even a big Football League club like Brentford, when those windows roll around, because you are effectively always a small pond. You are. You aren't a Premier League team. And the worry is that you have one of these seasons, as I'm suggesting Brentford have, where you're good enough that you get noticed, you're not so good that you hop over into that bigger pond. What's going to happen is the Aston Villas of this world, who have hauled themselves over into the swimming pool that is the Premier League, are going to come with a fishing rod. They're going to look for your star men. You've got to be very, very careful. The same, of course, could be happening to Leeds. We'll be asking Gab Sutton, owner of the Football Lab. We're hearing that Jack Clark could be off to Spurs for 20 million English pounds. This kid's 18. He's barely played any football, and the Daily Mail want you to believe 20 million quid. Listen, it's not actually as ludicrous as it sounds. Spurs have already had a 10 million quid bid turned down, so they do mean business. But 20 sounds like a lot of money. And while we're in transfer rumour silly season, I'm going to leave you with a completely farcical one, because just to keep your radars really in tune, we've got to show you one that is blatantly nonsense. Jesse Rodriguez, formerly the star wonder kid of Real Madrid, tipped to be the next Raul, currently of PSG. I know he's struggling there, but not in a month of Sundays is he going to Leeds United. Not a chance. Being reported all over the Spanish press, but surely not. If I'm talking rubbish, get in touch. 0208 7020 558. I'm happy to talk about any of these potential deals with you. Have your club had a nearly season? Are you worried about the future of your star men? Get in touch. But coming up, a man who won't be worried at all is Johnny Gould. We're talking Aston Villa.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line for the first ever time by another Johnny. It's Johnny Gould, broadcaster, journalist, and of course, director of the Aston Villa Supporters Trust. Johnny, good evening. Thanks ever so much for joining me. First of all, congratulations. Has it sunk in yet?
It's just about to. I love the idea of us being in the Premier League like every Aston Villa fan does, but the idea that we weren't in the Premier League hasn't quite sunk in yet. Believe me, this grand old football club, you know, one of the originals of the Premier League, in fact, one of the originals of the Football League, in fact, from the outset, the club which set up the Football League itself from its boardroom in 1880, frozen to death, couldn't be at the pinnacle of football is kind of just unthinkable. And that is the standard that we think about ourselves. Birmingham City hate us for it, but good, because we deserve to be a league higher than them.
You do, absolutely. Previously, of course, one of very few clubs to never be relegated from the Premier League. And a man who's absolutely central to your return to those giddy heights has been Jack Grealish. Now, he's a Villa boy, loves the club. He's had a few run-ins with Birmingham City himself. He was, of course, whacked in the face by a Birmingham City fan earlier this season before going on to score the winner in that game. But of course, he's going to be central to any success that Villa have in the Premier League as well. He was heavily, heavily linked with a move to Tottenham last summer. Suggestions that they could come back circling this year. Is he staying?
Yes, he is. I can unequivocally tell you that now we are in the Premier League, there is nothing that Tottenham Hotspur can offer Aston Villa that would attempt either our owners, our billionaire owners, or indeed the Birmingham boy with the special kinship with the supporters.
And the terrible hair, by the way.
Oh, you know what? I was walking around Wembley. I saw at least three identical haircuts.
I hope you advised them to get a new barber.
And I thought, I tell you what, lads, if I had hair like that and I was in my 20s too, I'd do the same Johnny because...
Would you really? Just because you idolise him?
I just love Jack Grealish.
You love him so much you'd get hair like that. I don't believe you.
Look at his calf definition, Johnny. I mean, those calves, he's like Popeye. The guy is so strong. I absolutely love him. Every Aston Villa fan loves him. Do you know it takes him about 15 minutes to walk off the pitch at the end of a game at Villa Park, such as his relationship with all four corners of the stand and about, I don't know, 50 people waiting there to applaud him and hug him. That is nothing that you can get at Tottenham behind all the stewards and the security. You won't get that at Bournemouth amid all the deck chairs. You won't get that at Leicester City. So, out there after their marvellous Premier League victory. Well, Crystal Palace under Roy Hodgson, it's not going to happen either.
Well, you are being very convincing that Grealish will stay. But
yes,
a lot of this, of course, from a Villa perspective, will be sentimentality. Do you think, in a genuine footballing sense, he's going to have been sold a vision, as you say, by the billionaire owners, that will convince him that this club is big enough for him to compete at the higher level?
It was sentiment that kept him at Villa for 3 years. Let's be absolutely real about that. I mean, Tottenham came calling. We were skint. We had no money. We were heading towards League One. And then just in the nick of time, Mr. Sawiris and Mr. Edens came in and saved the club. And Sawiris gave Daniel Levy a swipe round the mush and said, we don't need your money. And Jack Grealish was convinced under the new management of Dean Smith to stay another year. I understand, like every Aston Villa supporter, that he's given 3 years of himself at the championship level. But actually, he's matured in that time from a guy struggling with his off-field behaviour to being the captain of the club. And actually, he's ready for an Aston Villa to compete in the Premier League. So yes, I am utterly convinced that unless we are down on our bums at the bottom of the Premier League, and, you know, listen, we just got promoted, we are going to get battered at Manchester City, we are going to get bruised at home to Liverpool. These are teams right at the top, the pinnacle of the game, not just in England, but around the world. We understand that, but nevertheless, Jack Grealish will be Premier League and will be Aston Villa. I cannot countenance, imagine an idea that Grealish's head would be turned by anybody or anything when his beloved Aston Villa are in the Premier League and he's the captain.
Well, you're a confident man. And let's talk then about this vision rather that he's been promised. Let's talk about how to spend some of those billions. You're being linked with a move for a winger, Ryan Kent, who's been quite impressive on loan at Rangers from Liverpool this season. He'd cost roughly £12 million. Apparently, Fulham and Huddersfield are interested as well. Is this a move that excites you?
It does. I tell you who my first signing would be. Ryan Kent is interesting. You know, listen, as you say, a player who comes out of Liverpool is a player who's got to be of interest. A player who's being cultivated in the first team by Steven Gerrard has got to be of interest. But the first player that I would go for, who's actually a good player, I've got an Aston Villa heart, is Nottingham Forest's Joe Lolley. He's going to cost us £10 million. He's a championship player. He's got a wonder of a foot. He can shoot from distance, and I think he's a Dean Smith player. Joe Lolley would be my first Aston Villa signing. My second one would be to Bournemouth to secure our central defender, who has had half a brilliant season. He was caught being photographed at Bournemouth train station, where he lives, of course, because he's still a Bournemouth player, Tyrone Mings, in his Aston Villa kit. He's got changed.
He's a brave man.
Well, you know what? Mings loves the Villa, and we love him. He is arguably the best defender we've had since the days of Martin Larsson and Paul McGrath of Olaf Melberg and Kent Nielsen.
Do you think he's finally found his home, Johnny? Because he was highly, highly rated as a kid coming through at Ipswich, didn't work for him at Bournemouth, and it finally now seems to be clicking into place.
Absolutely, Johnny. He is elegant. He is a beautiful player.
And how are his calves?
He's going to cost us. I beg your pardon?
How are his calves? Does he rival Grealish?
Well, you know, listen, it's his upper body that I'm in awe of. I've got to tell you, right, just before I kind of talk about bodies all the time, I am a heterosexual man, by the way.
That's all right. That's fine if you're not.
I'm just saying that I do like the physique of footballers. I like athletes.
No, I agree. He's a very impressive guy.
You know, I look at these chaps and I want to slap them on the back. I want to grab their arms and say, well done, lad. Because, you know, footballers need different shapes. Grealish and Mings, they look like different tribes, don't they? I mean, Grealish is small and nimble. Tyrone is tall and elegant. But they are both going to be Aston Villa players this season, and we need them. And we might surprise a few sides. Look, I've just said we're going to get battered by Liverpool and Man City. But we may turn over an Arsenal. We may beat a Chelsea.
You definitely turn over an Arsenal, Johnny. I'll tell you that much. It's not very hard to do. I'm interested by the suggestion that you're going to hold on to one loan player in the form of Tyrone Mings, because loanees have been a massive part of this season. El Ghazi, of course, got that first goal at Wembley. Tammy Abraham has been massive. Axel Tuanzebe of Manchester United as well has been important. Who of those would you like to keep? Who of those can you keep? Because I know that Tammy Abraham has been quite open about wanting to break into that Chelsea team.
Because he's ambitious. The reality is he going to make a Chelsea side who are Champions League? You know, Chelsea do set their stall extremely high. But as you say, there is a window of opportunity for Tammy to go back to Chelsea and force his way back into the Chelsea first team because of their ban in terms of transfers. The guy scored 27 goals in the Championship. He does not necessarily distinguish between a Bandor and a Banjo sometimes. I mean, if he was a really clinical striker, he might have even scored 40 this season. I am concerned that he might get bullied off the ball, that he may not be the full mark at Premier League level. Axel Tuanzebe is another player of great majesty. Solskjaer will look at his season with Aston Villa and think, I might have room for him. I would like us to sign Tuanzebe, but I'd like us first to sign Ming if we had a choice. Mm. Tammy has been linked not just with a return to Chelsea, but with Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Well, they went for him in January, didn't they?
Exactly, and we nearly lost him. We're not entirely in control of our loan players, as you say, Johnny, and that is the plight of the Championship. Mm. But we will sign Mings. We will resecure Jack again. John McGinn's future is assured at Aston Villa. He wouldn't join Celtic. I mean, really, why would you do such a thing after working so hard and taking a risk to join Championship Aston Villa instead of joining treble-treble-winning Celtic? It's just a mad thing to do. McGinn will stay at Villa. Courtney Howes will probably be signed from Wolves. That's what I'm understand to believe. And El Ghazi is a must. Lille are calling for El Ghazi, but I just feel that El Ghazi also loves Villa. There's something going on. There's something stirring at Villa Park. And we may lose. We may lose Tammy. But the others, I think I'm confident of signing. I want us to get Joe Lolley. Remember, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
From Nottingham Forest.
It's a very good tip.
I like it. I do like him. And there's a bloke from Brentford who Dean Smith obviously would have known about. And I read about him today, and his name looks like I would have got 300 points at Scrabble.
Who are you talking about? Mococho?
Exactly. Sorry, mate.
I thought it had to be him. Well, as soon as you said Scrabble, Camuelo Mococho, if you go for the full name, you're up there. Get that on a triple word score. They're in trouble.
Johnny, you are a champion, mate. That's great. Yes, him.
Him. Yeah, he'd be a signing. I've got a couple more I want to ask you about really quickly. If you can't get Tammy, Christian Benteke has been flirting, frankly, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Would you have him back?
Do you know what? At Aston Villa, he was an absolute giant. He was a player worthy of a £27 million move to Liverpool the season or two before we got relegated. And that was when £27 million was something. we might have to pay that level again. His career has taken an awful nosedive. For whatever reason, he's failed at Crystal Palace. Jurgen Klopp decided that he was surplus to his big Champions League ambitions at Liverpool. He's been eaten up and chewed up. Now, one thing we know about Christian at Aston Villa is he's quite a gentle soul. And I think he's been pushed around a bit by the top end of the game in a way that psychologically he needs a bit of attention. I have to say, as much as I love Christian Benteke, and he's still got some years ahead of him, that ship might have sailed.
Well, not one romantic return, but a romantic return to the Premier League for a club who definitely deserved to be there. Johnny, an absolute pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks. Thank you, Johnny.
Ever so much. Johnny Gold there. He's a broadcaster, journalist, and of course, director of the Aston Villa Supporters Trust. One man who could be on his way to Villa Park is Joe Aribo of Charlton. One man who will be praying he doesn't is Martin Adkins of the SE7 pod and the Charlton Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio. We'll be getting his take on the matter in just a moment.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and it's a delight to be joined on the line by Martin Adkins of the SE7 pod and, of course, the Charlton Fan Show every Thursday, 9 till 10, right here on Love Sport Radio. Good evening, Martin. Thanks for joining me. I've got to start with Aribo. We've been hearing all about potential moves all season. Arsenal mooted, Manchester City mooted, but I've been talking Aston Villa recently and I'm hearing that he could be off there. What do you reckon?
Evening, by the way, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
I just don't know, mate, to be honest. It's all up in the air. You hear Lee Bowyer after the game and saying he's quite confident that he'll stay. You just know, do you? I've not heard the Aston Villa one, but that'd be quite plausible, I suppose. But I mean, obviously, we'd love him to stay, but just really don't know.
All up in the air. Of course, up in the air with Lee Bowyer as well. I'm going to come on to that in just a moment. But first of all, Congratulations. That must have been quite something as days go.
Oh, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. As we said on our little text messages between each other. I was quite battered and bruised after the game, especially when that last-minute goal went in. You know, the scenes were unbelievable, and it was just brilliant, brilliant payout.
And a wonderful result at the end of it as well. Of course, you are now a Championship club, which means the prospect of holding on to the likes of Aribo becomes a lot more likely. But Lee Bowyer is still in this same situation where effectively his contract will be up in a few weeks' time. As things stand, he'll be able to walk on a free. It's baffling. What is going on? Will he sign a new deal? And is he staying?
Again, don't know, Johnny. I mean, you know, he sounded quite confident. It's going to be sorted. He said that Rowland wanted to talk to him straight after the game yesterday or today. So who knows? I mean, it's madness getting signed up straight away. Because I think once we get Bowyer signed up, once the players see that he's committed, then some of the other players will say, well, OK, Bowyer wants on, we'll sign on.
Do you blame Roland de Châtelet for this situation, Martin?
Well, the blame lies firmly at his door. Sitting as that, he should have had all this sorted out 6 months ago, you know. But as he said, he only uses 2% of his time on the club, so obviously this doesn't go into his remit.
No, it's so frustrating from a Charlton perspective, just really, really irritating. But there could be some good news as well, because there have been impressive loanees at the Valley this season, the likes of Christian Bielik from Arsenal and Cullen from West Ham. We discussed on the Charlton show many a time that, listen, if Charlton stay in League One, the chance of keeping these boys is fairly slim. But with that promotion, could either or both Bielik or Cullen hang about?
I think Cullen, no. I think he's got eyes on getting in the West Ham first team, but I suppose that's all down to Pellegrini. But I mean,
I've seen a lot of West Ham fans saying they don't back him, that they like him, but they don't think he's quite good enough.
Yeah, well, I disagree, but then I would. I'm very biased, but he's been fantastic for us, and we'd have him back tomorrow. Same with Christian Bielik, I really like him. You know, I'd be amazed if he can't get in the Arsenal squad for their defensive frailties. But you know, again, they might want him to step up into the Championship. We've got to have a good chance of getting him back.
Do you think he's good enough to play for Arsenal?
Maybe not as a starter, but I certainly think he's good enough to be a squad player. He's really improved week in, week out for us. Bowie's improved him. Well, I can't see why not, but they don't fancy him really, and we'll see him back.
And just finally, Martin, are there any players you've heard whispers that Charlton could be after who you'd like to see come into the club?
No, not really. Not at the moment. I think it's a bit too early for that. I mean, we haven't got a guaranteed manager yet. So,
yeah, sort the simple things
who knows?
First.
Who
yeah.
Knows?
Well, I'll do my best to get onto Roland for you, Martin, and see what I can do. Thanks ever so much. Lovely to chat to you, Martin Adkins, there of the SE7 Pod, and of course the Charlton Fan Show, right here on Love Sport Radio every Thursday night, 9 until 10. I do worry for Charlton. I really, really do. It should be this unbelievably exciting week. They've secured promotion to the Championship, finally back to the beginnings of where they belong. It should be a case of building forward, not worrying, hang on a minute, is the manager going to be unemployed in 3 weeks? Absolutely farcical. And Roland de Châtelet is to blame. But coming up, Brentford. I spoke at the beginning of the show. Always a scary time to be a Brentford fan in the transfer window. I'll be joined by Dave Lane of Besotted to get all the latest. And we could even touch on the Scrabble legend that is Kamuelo Mokotjo.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Dave Lane of Besotted and the Brentford Fan Show. Evening, Laney. Thanks very much for joining me. First of all, not just rumours we got to deal with, we've got a confirmed piece of business for Brentford, and it's going in the right direction. You've signed Christian Norgard from Italian club Fiorentina. It's a reported £2.8 million fee. What do you make of this signing?
On paper, it seems an absolute cracking signing. Christian Norgard, he joined Fiorentina a little more than a year ago for €3.5 million. So he's obviously not quite worked out for him there. But Christian's played under Thomas Frank before at Bromby, so they're well acquainted.
And how important is that, do you think, to this deal, Dave?
Critical, I would say, because you look at Christian Norgard's CV. You know, Bromby, Hamburg. He's played every single representative level for Denmark, and obviously Fiorentina are a big Italian team. So he's a high caliber, experienced player. To come to Brentford, it would have taken a bit of a sales job. I'm not sure he would have probably known too much about us. But obviously having Thomas Frank there, we've got Rasmus Ankersen, who's a Dane, who's one of our directors of football. We've got Henrik Dalsgaard, and just three or four other, Mads Beck Sorensen. There's a raft of Danish talent at Brentford. So I'm sure that's all kind of come together to kind of sell the Brentford project to him.
It's a really, really positive looking signing for the club. But of course, not just looking to Scandinavia, because we're hearing rumours today being reported by the 72 blog and various other places that the club could be after Charlton's Johnny Williams. Of course, he's a Welsh international, also linked with Luton Town and Swansea City. A great player, but one with a fairly suspect injury record. What do you make of this link?
Yeah, he's out of contract very soon. He would probably be able to come in and do a job as a sub, I'd say. It's whether he, he's happy to play at, what kind of part he wants to play. I mean, I don't know a huge amount about him. But
he's come out and said he wants to be playing football. So that, are you saying that would be a stumbling block? You don't see him getting in the team?
Not necessarily. I saw the playoff game at the weekend, and he was a high impact player. He's a high intensity player. It's someone who would fit the system, I'm sure. But we do have a lot of similar players, and his injury record is that it would be a bit of a punt taken on him. But what we do need, and what we found out this season, is we didn't have enough strength in depth. We relied on too many players, and when the players that we relied upon the most became injured or unavailable, we suffered. So we do need to have strength, more strength sort of throughout the team. And he's been, you know, played a very big part in getting Charlton up. So, you know, we would be kind of foolish to not look at him. It's whether, you know, we would be able to guarantee him first team football every week. But, you know, we do need to learn to rotate better, and especially with our away form. You know, again, that kind of hinted at relying on the same players home and away, and that wasn't really quite working for us.
When you talk about this lack of strength and depth, Dave, are you expecting the club more broadly to go out and try and recruit some potential substitutes this summer just to give you a little bit of backup?
I think what we're going to find is a lot of B teamers are going to be given an opportunity. Well, I say a lot. I think there's two or three that will be kind of drafted more into the A team.
Who are you looking as the exciting prospects, Dave?
Well, there's Zambrek, and then there's Marcus Force.
Who scored, didn't he?
He did. He scored in the last game against Preston, and he was, you know, he big hopes were kind of pinned on his shoulders at the beginning of last season, but he got injured. So, you know, when he did get his chance, he did struggle at times, and then obviously Morpay had such a great season that, you know, with playing one up top, it really does sort of scupper the opportunities that come along for other people. So, you know, I do, the B team has had a really good season, so, you know, I think that's the pathway through, if possible. But then we do have to start looking elsewhere, because we are gonna lose some players, it would seem, and during the summer. So we're gonna be looking over our shoulders pretty much the whole of the summer months.
In terms of that potential fear as a Brentford fan, which we know is always there, The Sun are reporting today that Bristol City could be in for your keeper, Dan Bentley. Firstly, do you believe this rumour? And secondly, how would you feel about him leaving?
Yep, well, I've heard that. I mean, I've heard that Blackburn are looking at him as well. The price that's on his shoulders is $4 million, apparently.
Do you think that's fair?
There's been some really cruel comments on Twitter actually about that. I mean, there's a few people saying, you know, for that kind of money, they drive in there themselves. let's be honest, he did have a stinky season on the pitch, and you know, his mistakes did cost us. I mean, I wouldn't say it cost us promotion or a playoff place or whatever. He wasn't solely responsible for that, but his first season at Brentford was excellent, and you know, he doesn't become a bad keeper overnight. And I personally, I think it'd be a shame to let him go. I think, you know, he's still fairly young for a goalkeeper. I think he's got all the potential to become very good again. So, you know, I think it could have been a blip. So, you know, Jack Bonham, not so much. I'm quite happy for him to leave. But I think Dan Bentley is someone that we probably would or should keep hold of if possible, unless we've got someone else lined up. If we're confident that we've gone and found someone. I think Dan Bentley's not quite tall enough. He's very agile. He's a brilliant shot stopper. I think he, you know, if he was 6'5", I think he'd be exceptional. But, you know, I think maybe he does need a move just to kind of get that confidence back, because at times he did flounder.
That's one man who it's sounding like you'd be broadly happy if he left the club, or certainly accept it. There are other names, of course, that Brentford fans are going to be more worried about the potential exit. I'm talking, of course, about Neil Morpay, Benrahma, Mococho, Sawyers, Watkins. Have you heard any indication that any serious interest could be coming in for those players in the next few weeks?
Not hearing any firm interest as such. I mean, there's obviously talk about Morpay, and it's probably, you know, whether it's agent talk or it's just clickbait talk, we're not quite sure. It's difficult sometimes. Difficult at this stage of the transfer window, or this, you know, just the dust is just settling on the playoffs. So, you know, seeing how Villa, you know, seeing them go up, probably it does set the cat amongst the pigeons slightly.
Particularly from a Sawyers point of view.
Yeah, Sawyers and Morpay. I think, you know, it's how Dean Smith is allowed to you know, what part he plays in the recruitment at Aston Villa. It's whether the DOF do the business, and, you know, if it's a similar system at Brentford, he'll have a say, but others will go and do the research and crunch the numbers. So we'll see how that dynamic works out at Villa Park. But they need to buy. They need a much bigger squad. They've relied on a few loan players there. Whether they stay or whether they go back to their parent clubs, we'll see. But I'm sure that Dean Smith will. The first place he's going to be looking is players that he knows he can trust, and players that he knows that could probably step up and perform at a higher level. And obviously Brentford, he'll be, you know, the most familiar with. And, you know, it's clear that there are players that are knocking on the door of the Premiership already, let alone, you know, with a manager that they've got a, you know, relationship with. So that's going to be interesting. I would have said if Villa hadn't have gone up, whether they could have paid or afforded some of the players that, you know, they may be looking at.
Yeah, they'd have been in trouble, wouldn't they?
Play. But now, you know, they've got the treasure chest has been opened. So, you know, it's seeing how shrewdly they want to spend that money that they've got access to now.
Yeah, potentially concerning from a Brentford point of view. The message seems to be, if you're a Brentford fan, just keep half an eye on Aston Villa. Perhaps a slightly nervous eye, just to see if they're starting to sniff around some of your key men. But Dave, let's leave it on a positive note. Is there anyone you've heard about potentially coming into the club, or anyone you personally have seen who you genuinely love to be recruited by Brentford?
Well, there's a striker out there called Skov Olsen, who's he's playing in the Danish league. He scored an absolute shedload last season in his first season for Nordjylland. Yeah, that's the one.
Easy for you to say.
My Danish isn't too hot, so I think that's kind of got Brentford written all over it. So I've not heard anything, but, you know, the name's been mentioned on Besotted on one of the threads, and it's one of those signings that, you know, you could see happening. So, but he's been linked with much, much bigger clubs. But there you go, you know, we've got that Danish connection, and obviously Matthew Benham owns Midtjylland. So there's, you know, it isn't a surprise that Denmark is becoming a quite central resource for us. So, watch this space.
Wonderful stuff. Well, we start in Denmark, and in Denmark is where we shall finish. Dave, thanks ever so much for your time. Lovely to chat to you. Dave Lane there of Besotted, and of course, the Brentford Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio. But coming up, it's time for a bit more of a Football League roundup. We're focusing on Leeds United because they're looking very, very lively, even looking to PSG for some of their business, if the Spanish press are to be believed. Spoilers, they aren't to be believed. And we'll be chatting to Gab Sutton, who is the owner of the Football Lab.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and it is, of course, a Tuesday night, so it is, of course, a Football League focus. And where better to take it than to Leeds United? I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by the wonderful Gab Sutton, owner of the Football Lab. Gab, it's nominally a transfer rumour show, but let's start with the definite news, and it is sounding like Marcelo Bielsa will be at Elland Road for at least one more year. How important is that for the club?
I think that's huge, really. I think you've got to massively credit the work that Marcelo Bielsa has done in his first season in charge. He's massively improved the quality of the football they've played without really changing too much of the squad. I mean, remember Barry Douglas was the only player really that he added to a squad that finished 13th in the Championship last season. They played some outstanding football at times, and yes, they might not have quite got over the line, but they produced a very competitive side. And I think if they can add a bit more depth over the summer, then I'm sure they'll go strong again. And I think that Bielsa is the right person to have at the helm.
Slightly harder to manage a team, it turns out, when you're no longer allowed to have spies hiding in the bushes at your rival's training grounds. But there we go, each to their own. You mentioned adding a bit of quality, adding a bit of strength in depth. Is there anyone you've heard them linked to or you think would be a particularly good move for the club?
Well, that's an interesting one. I mean, I think you'd probably look at the fullback positions, perhaps. I mean, I think Luke Ayling's had an excellent season, but I don't know. I mean, at left back, they've often had to experiment with different players when certain people have been out injured. So maybe one or two additions there would be quite useful. I think they've got two strikers in, Patrick Bamford and Kemar Roof, who've not really been able to keep them fit simultaneously for much of last season. And maybe another holding midfielder to rotate when Phillips is out. But I think that in terms of the first 11, I think they're very, very strong.
Right, Gab, that's why I knew you would be the perfect man for this show and the perfect man for this slot, because what you've done there is you've been very realistic, you've been very measured, you've identified where the potential gaps might be, and you've identified some potentially sensible signings. I wish I could say the same for the Spanish press, because El Desmarque are reporting that Jesse Rodriguez, formerly the star wonder kid of Real Madrid, tipped to be the next Raul, currently of PSG, could be off to Leeds. It sounds like nonsense, but could it possibly happen?
I have no inside information on that dealing. I mean, obviously, as the clubs you've mentioned with Real Madrid and PSG, that would suggest he's an elite footballer. So I don't know whether the current Leeds regime would have the money to execute that kind of transfer. So I would imagine it depends a lot on whether they can get fresh investment, as has been linked over the last week or so.
In a funny way, this could happen, right? The reason why I bring it up is because on this show, we like to do all of the transfer rumours, but it's also about cutting through the noise, identifying which of those rumours could have legs. Now, Jesse Rodriguez to Leeds United sounds like nonsense, but actually, could it happen? He signed for PSG in 2016. He's had terrible injury problems. He had terrible injury problems at Real Madrid as well. He's only played 9 times for PSG. In 2017, he was on loan to Las Palmas in La Liga, only managed 16 appearances. 2017 to 18, he then went on loan to Stoke City, 13 appearances, 1 goal. Last year, he was on loan at Real Betis. So actually, on loan, perhaps on a free deal, big wages still. Could we see him turn up at Leeds United? It would be a baffling signing, but actually, it's not quite as far-fetched as it might sound. But one man...
Well, I was just going to say, the other thing is, I think that the Championship maybe attracts a higher calibre of player than it did 10 years ago. I mean, we've seen with Wolves, they attracted Ruben Neves, quite a young player, a player that a lot of sort of major clubs you'd have thought would have been interested in after, you know, what he'd done in the Champions League for Porto. Wolves managed to bring him into the Championship with the right connection. So I think the question really is not so much about the division that you're playing in, it's have you got the money and have you got the influential people involved?
Well, yeah, and that's a really, really good point, Gab, because when we're talking about connections, not only is there the obvious appeal of Marcelo Bielsa, who certainly in the Spanish-speaking world is absolutely revered as a head coach, there is a strong Spanish contingent at Elland Road in terms of the players. Pablo Hernandez is coming to the end of his career, but he's still hanging around. Kiko Casilla was at the club this season. He's on loan from Real Madrid. So they've shown that they can get players from Europe's elite. Do you see it happening? Instinct-wise.
I see it as a possible one, yes. And I do think that Bielsa could be a big pull in terms of attracting players who are Spanish-speaking, as you said.
It's not just Spanish-speaking players who Leeds are preoccupied by, though, because they have got a few brave British lads in their squad as well, English speakers. One of those is young Jack Clarke. Now, he's been talked about a lot in the last couple of years. He's a big lad, quite a tall boy, 6'2", winger. He's still a kid. He's 18 years of age. He's only played 22 times for Leeds in the Championship, 2 Championship goals to his name. The rumours this season were that Tottenham have already bid £10 million and been soundly rebuffed by Leeds. The Daily Mail are now reporting that Pochettino could be back in for him, but it would cost them £20 million. firstly, before we get into how likely this is he worth that money?
I can see the argument for saying no, because 22 games in the Championship isn't very much to prove you would think a player to be worth that much. The flip side of that is, though, is that he's proving to be a very competent Championship player at 18. And over the next 5 years, you would expect him to improve. And now I'm not massively mad on the financial inflation that we're seeing in the game, but it's part of the modern world, I suppose. And I think the way that transfer fees are increasing, there's a very strong likelihood that Jack Clarke might be worth more than that in 3 to 5 years' time. So I would say, although I'm not mad on the idea of an 18, 19-year-old being worth £20 million, because I think it puts a hell of a lot of pressure on the lad, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with the idea that he's worth that amount.
Yeah, particularly in a couple of years' time. You basically, if someone's English and a Premier League footballer, if they've got an England cap, you pay 15 million quid as your starting fee. It's like if you were buying a car, you then add an extra 5 million if he's left-footed, an extra 10 million if he's two-footed, an extra 3 million if he's got a good haircut, and before you know it, you're dealing with the farcical amount of money we've seen paid for very average footballers. I'm with you. Leeds could be losing more of their English players as well, certainly their English-speaking players, because we're hearing that Calvin Phillips could be off to Aston Villa. More broadly on the Villa front, are you expecting Dean Smith, even with these notorious war chests that he's now being given, you expecting him to look back down to the Championship and raid some of this season's rivals?
Possibly, yeah. I think that in terms of Villa's position, although they went up as the lowest-placed teams of the three promotees, I would also suggest that they're probably in the best position just because of the stature of the club, I suppose, in some respects, and also that the backing they've got off the field with the owners that came in last summer. So I would suggest there is the clout there to go for that. I think Calvin Phillips probably deserves a shot in the Premier League. I think he's probably had his best season to date in that holding role for Leeds as the kind of anchor man. He'd been played further forward in other games before Bielsa came in. But I think Bielsa has sort of reinvented him to an extent. And I could imagine that him doing well in the Premier League. And I think he'd add a little bit of bite to Villa's midfield, which maybe they'd need a little bit more of in the Premier League.
Mm. How many players currently operating in the Championship are good enough to make that step up? Because we're always told that there is quality in the lower leagues, and we're seeing lower league players linked consistently now with the Premier League. Yet when clubs take that risk, we saw Cardiff sign a myriad Championship players last summer, it doesn't always pay off. Do you think clubs are a little bit anxious about exploiting the Championship?
I'm not sure about that. I think in the Championship we saw a very high standard of coaching. I think we saw a very high standard of talent this season. And I think the Championship is an excellent environment to develop young players. So I would suggest that, in teams like Norwich that we saw last season, somebody like Max Ahrens, I think he's got a fantastic future in the game. I think there is a lot of young talent in the Championship. And I think maybe in the Premier League there's a slightly different environment where you've got more to lose perhaps and less to gain, so teams are more likely to perhaps play for a draw than go all out for the win. And I think it is a slightly different environment, and I kind of hope that some of the ideas that we've seen coming into the Championship over the last couple of years are going to sort of translate into the Premier League. But to answer your question, I think there is plenty of talent in that division.
It's just about finding it and taking that risk. Gab, it's been wonderful. I just want to leave you with your take on a rather, I think it probably is realistic, but sounds ridiculous rumour. We are hearing that a man who knows a thing or two about Northern football clubs and the Football League, Roberto Martinez, is being lined up as the potential next Barcelona boss. What do you make of that one?
Well, it's a funny one because I think he had a great first season at Everton. Then things sort of began to go stale for the last 2 years. You'd probably say it was 1 in 3 in terms of good seasons at Everton. Obviously, he did a very good job at Belgium at the World Cup, but then you'd also say they probably had about the third best squad at that World Cup. So would I say that he's a world-class manager? Not too sure on that one.
No, but then again, he did win an FA Cup with Wigan. So from those giddy heights, true, anything is possible. Gab, thanks ever so much. Lovely to speak to you. Gab Sutton there, who is the owner of the Football Lab, giving us his take on Leeds' potential transfer business and a potential move from a former Wigan boss to the heady heights of the Camp Nou. Wonderful stuff. I hope it's not all doom and gloom if you're a Brentford fan, having joined me this evening. Certainly positivity from an Aston Villa point of view. And for Charlton, it should all be good news, but come on, we need to sort out this contract situation. Get Boya tied down, get Aribo tied down, and take on the championship. Join me next time on the Transfer Rumour Mill.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.